Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, and when I'm here, that means Elizabeth Licata is here.
I am here. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Elizabeth, editor of Buffalo Spree, of course, which devotes part of its May issue to Buffalo's music scene. It's always been vibrant. When I came of age in the 70s, I'd spend Friday and Saturday nights at the Barrel Head in West Seneca listening to Talis, Cock Robin, and the Warlocks. Today, young people are flocking to hear... Well, I don't know. I don't hang out at clubs anymore, but you can read about some young new groups in the May issue.
Yes, we do have some very hot groups that people are going to listen now, like the Humble Braggers, there's Lesion Reed, Rada Rada, Sleepy Ha-Ha's, really fun names. By the way, I also saw Talis, but it was at the After Dark in Lockport.
Yeah.
They had a lot of bands come through there.
Exactly. Another iconic Buffalo bar from the day. Well, is Buffalo unique here, or do most cities lay claim to having a vibrant music scene?
You know, I think most cities do lay claim to having a vibrant music scene, but we do have some advantages. There's one part of the feature is on the whole roots music Americana scene, which thanks to the Sportsman's Tavern has really captured a lot of audience here, and a lot of nationally touring bands go there. They've even started a foundation for this music. So that's something that might be we're not Nashville, but that might be something that is unique. We're also fortunate in that we're kind of on the circuit, and you've probably heard this before. Bands may be on their way to Toronto. It's an easy stop for them to make. So we're lucky in that we get a lot of bands that maybe other cities who just aren't as convenient to a major venue like that would get.
Buffalo has spawned many famous national acts, from Rick James and Spyro Gyra in the 70s to Ani DiFranco and the Goo Goo Dolls in the 90s. But in the last decade and a half, I can't think of a local act that has gained national prominence. And I'm wondering if with so many artists today sharing their music on the internet, is it just harder to stand out?
Well, it could be that. It is a lot harder. The music industry has changed a lot with streaming and downloading. We all know that. But there are bands that have cropped up here that I thought were just phenomenal. One group, I don't even know if they're still together, I listened to like a few years back, was Here Come the Comets. I thought they were great. We have bands like Aqueous, and a lot of the bands that are mentioned here are, I think, Tiny Rhymes, one of the bands. They're going on a tour, so who knows?
We'll be talking about Tiny Rhymes in a moment, but I do want to touch on the profile in the May issue of Marty Boroton.
Yes.
Now, he's run record stores. He did a radio show on WBFO in the late 80s, and now he and his wife host house concerts at their Hamburg home. And how important has his role been, given that he's spent his entire adult life in the city's music scene?
Very important. Along with the late Michael Meldrum, he's helped bring some artists to prominence through his bookings. You know, he's an amazing booker. He's brought a lot, and still books, I think, for Mohawk Place as well as his own house concerts.
Yeah. And one of the groups he's working with, you mentioned, Tiny Rhymes.
Yes.
They'll be playing at his home in late May, and it's a female trio. Now, one of the artists, Katie Wiseman, who plays the cello, went to Amherst Schools with my son. I saw her start in elementary school. By high school, you could tell she had talent and was going places. And here I'm reading about her now in Buffalo Spree. And you said there's a national tour coming up.
Yeah, some kind of tour. I mean, she posted and tagged us saying that, oh, just before our tour. So I thought, oh, that's wonderful, because I know Sleepy Ha-Ha's, I think, have toured a bit. The Humble Braggers have had some national prominence, so I'm glad that some of the bands we've mentioned might be breaking out in some kind of way. And I also love it, their genre, I believe they call themselves chamber folk, and I love it when people are able to bring these sort of classical music instruments in and do something different with them.
Yeah, because I was wondering when I read the profile that she plays the cello, and that's not really a rock type.
Well, we've
of
seen
instrument.
A lot of violins,
oh, yeah.
Especially, actually, we see a lot of violins in country and country rock.
That's right.
So,
and Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, so... So it's not far, and jazz instruments used in rock, as in Bruce Springsteen as well. Yeah. So it's not much of a step from that to cello.
Yeah. Well, where what
takes
are,
up more space.
Yeah, exactly. What are some of Buffalo's most notable music clubs? I'm sure Sportsman would lead the list.
Sportsman is very high up there, but Nietzsche's is also very high up there. I saw an amazing concert there recently, the Burnt Sugar Orchestra. They did sort of a funk tribute, some of it tribute to Rick James, but really made it their own. But it was, I mean, you could say it was the genre funk. It was a concert that Hallwalls brought to Nietzsche's. And Nietzsche's continually surprises us. We also feature a young programmer from Nietzsche's, Ellen Peroni, who does a lot of work there. So it's Sportsman's, Nietzsche's, Mohawk. Waiting Room is a relatively new venue, very important. Town, the Town Ballroom. Continues to be just important now to new generations as it was to when my parents went there, and maybe yours too, Mark. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got bigger venues like UBCFA. They bring in a lot of touring groups. And then not to forget smaller sort of bar-type venues like Gypsy Parlor and Duke's Bohemian Grill, Hot Mama's Canteen. I don't want to leave anyone out because they're all so good.
But music has expanded beyond clubs. The most notable example, the Thursday night concerts at Canal Side. But many communities now are offering free concerts. In fact, I spend most of my Thursday nights in the summer strolling up and down Main Street in Williamsville, where there's free music. I sample some of the 5 to 10 bands that are performing on any given night, and it's all good.
I don't know if it's all good, Mark, but there are a lot of outdoor concert series.
I wasn't
all
talking about
long.
The quality of the music necessarily, but the fact that there's live music now,
which is good. Yes, and so we find it in North Tonawanda has a series, Lockport has a series. You're down at Canal Side with a series. There's outer stuff happening on the Outer Harbor, and then of course there's the great. Really inexpensive concerts you can see at Art Park outside all summer, Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
So much music. One of my favorite bands at summer festivals is Hit and Run, a high-energy cover band that really gets the crowd going. Now, the May issue includes an article titled The Art of the Cover. Obviously, the crowd loves hearing a good cover of a rock anthem. But do you find that musicians would rather be playing their own music? It's all about the artistic.
I suppose it's up to them. I mean, when you think about it, isn't the BPO, aren't they just a cover band?
Exactly. Yet they seem to enjoy it. Yeah. Yeah, they're
I mean, at least when you play songs that you know people love, you're getting the great energy from the audience, and that must be nice. But if there are musicians who are only doing cover music because it's the only way they can make money and they have a lot of original music up their sleeve, they need to break out of that. But I bet there's a lot of cover bands who just love being cover bands and tribute bands.
Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of stories before we wrap up. First, I saw a photo in the May issue. A former WBFO all-night host, Gary Storm, posing with the Ramones. Now, Gary was before my time at WBFO. I never met the man. But back then, we were more like a college radio station than the full-service NPR news station we are today. So while the rest of Buffalo Radio was in morning drive, at WBFO, the all-night show was wrapping up at 8 a.m.
I remember Oil of Dog, a little bit. I also remember WPHD and some of the other progressive rock stations. I remember Jim Santella as a rock DJ back in those days. Yeah. And, you know, those pictures on the back page of the magazine are from our former music issues, where we actually, some of them we covered more history than we really did in this one. This one, I didn't want to go that way. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be contemporary as much as possible. Although we do have that Grammy retrospective of all the musicians who won Grammys. But quite a character. And
well,
I remember when the Ramones came here, I remember seeing them in, was it Home of the Hits?
I might have been away in Olean at that time.
Yeah, along Elmwood Avenue. I remember seeing maybe a couple of them, if not all of them, in that record store that was there.
Yeah. Anyway, Gary, on the first day morning edition, was on the air. He was fit to be tied. It was November 5th, 1979, and he lost an hour of his show. We were putting on this, what is now this premier morning radio program, and he was fit to be tied, and he wrote the F word on the official program log next to the morning edition listing. And that was supposed to be kept for 5 years as a legal document by WBFO, and he protested in his own unique way by adding that word three times to the log, and I wish I had kept it. I came across that log while going through files in the 1980s, and I wish I had kept it because it'd be a wonderful museum display today.
Yeah, for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, part of
it would be good for that.
A part of history, and it's been thrown out. And,
oh, dear.
It was so funny. I just laughed so hard when I saw that because he was very, very angry that he lost the last hour of his show to news. One other story I'd like to share.
Yes.
It's about a house concert. Back in the 80s, WBFO's music director, John Werick, used to host a party, and all of his jazz musician friends would bring their instruments to the party. And
oh, that's great.
As the night went on, they'd start jamming. Well, I was there with my wife, Mary Lou, though we were dating at the time. And at about 2 a.m., we decided to call it a night, and we left. And a half hour later, something I regret to this day, Al Wallach, who hosted jazz and our competitor at the time, brought this jazz artist to John's house to hang out after this artist's concert downtown. And he began jamming with the musicians.
Oh, no.
And this artist was...
Don't tell me John Coltrane or Miles or anything.
Close. Dizzy Gillespie.
Oh, dear.
I missed Dizzy Gillespie by a half an hour, and to this day, I eternally regret leaving that party. And even though it was 2 o'clock, you know, that it was just starting. And, wow, what a story to share about jazz in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, jazz is tough because it has a limited audience, but we are lucky still to have some great jazz venues. I remember Howells used to put on great jazz series. I don't know if you call Sun Ra jazz, but I'll never forget that concert. And that's someone who's gone. Mm-hmm. But now we have the Pausa on Wadsworth near Allen, and they bring in amazing groups. There's a great group that they have hosted called What Would Mingus Do? And we also feature George Calwell in this issue, who plays routinely with some of the top jazz artists in the world and is himself a top jazz artist.
Yeah, I enjoy, and I go every year to the Lewiston Jazz Festival.
Yes.
And last year it was more crowded than ever. Now, I don't know if people are just going to enjoy one of the last summer weekends because it's late August, but the people paid attention to the music, and I really enjoy being able to just walk up and down the street and hear groups, duos, big groups on stage.
They generally have at least one big headliner, right, for that
festival? They do, on Saturday night, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been there, but it sounds wonderful. I mean, I do wish we had a big jazz festival like there used to be. I think our park used to have one for a really huge jazz festival of that caliber. You have to go to Detroit now.
Yeah. I saw Count Basie my first summer at WBFO in 1981. Count Basie came to Art Park as part of the jazz festival.
Yeah,
I got to see Count Basie.
That was a jazz festival. Yeah, that was really something.
Any story about music in Buffalo you'd like to share?
Well, I remember as a student at Buff State, they had a lot of good concerts there. And maybe I was more interested in the bands who were touring through than I was in maybe some of the more homegrown bands, you know, after I grew out of Talis. But I remember seeing Elvis Costello in the cafeteria there. I remember a great Lou Reed concert in 1977 that I went to there. And, of course, all the concerts at the Aw that you probably remember, too. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking along, and it's a venue on the west side that I don't think exists anymore to see. It was like a big garage to see 10,000 Maniacs, which was another one of our homegrown bands that still plays.
Yeah.
And that was a great concert. That was sometime in the 80s, I think.
Well, Elizabeth, thanks for coming in and sharing the music issue, the May issue of Buffalo Spree.
Thanks a lot, Mark. It's great being here, as always.
Mark Scott, WBFO News.